Number 5, I have Mac Miller Faces. Number 4, I have The Roots and Then You Shoot Your Cousin. Number 3, I have Clipping. I'm assuming that's how you say it. Self-titled name. Number 2, I have Freddie Gibbs, Pinata. And number 1, I have YG, My Crazy Life.
Number 5, I have Blueprint, Respect the Architect. Number 4, I have Blue, Good to Be Home. Number 3, I have Sci-Hi to Prince, Black History Project. Number 2, I have Pharoah Monch, PTSD. And number 1, I have Freddie Gibbs and Madlib. And y'all.
All right, number 5, I have Open Mike Eagles, Dark Comedy. Number 4, Schoolboy Q with Oxymoron. Number 3, Freddie Gibbs and Madlib's Pinata. Number 2, The Roots and Then You Shoot Your Cousin. And number 1 is Pharoah Monch. Pharoah Monch, PTSD. Fuck, how the fuck?
Why is number 1 the one he always has to think about?
I don't know, man. Pharoah Monch, PTSD is number 1.
Number 5, I have Moody Black's Nausea. Number 4, I have Cunning Linguist, Strange Journey, Volume 3. Number 3, I have Open Mike Eagles, Dark Comedy. Number 2, I have Atmosphere, Southsiders. And number 1, I have Sage Francis, Copper Dawn.
There's always something happening with Ken's top pick for some reason. Every fucking time we do this shit, right. Whether it's mid-year, end of year, I don't understand Ken in the... You know, he's like the Cleveland Cavs. He can't draft number 1, so it's all good. I pick YG My Crazy Life, man, number 1, because it's the album so far or the hip-hop project that I go back to the most. I just feel like it's like a ghetto version of Kendrick's story and YG and DJ Mustard, right?
DJ
Mustard. Yeah. I just feel like the synergy between, like, they just brought it in together, man. And almost all of my projects, with the exception of Mac Miller, I felt were like all projects that they just hit their mark. Like, this is what we wanted to do, and I felt like they hit it. Like Freddie Gibbs and Madlib Pinata.
What on your list?
Number 2. Mm-hmm. That's number 2 on my list. And I think Mike, did you have that one on your list? Pinata? He didn't have Pinata. But 3 out of the 4 had that one on the list. So I think that just speaks to how good that album was. Clipping is something that I guess I don't want to get too much into it because we haven't done the review on it, and that is coming too. The Roots and Then You Shoot Your Cousin. Did you have that one on there?
Nope.
You did? So 2 out of the 4. So half. You know what I'm saying? Me and Ken had it on there again.
What on your list?
That's number 4. I'm going from 1 to 5 now. The Roots and Then You Shoot Your Cousin. Again, I felt like this, you know, I even said in the review, I don't even know if I could, you know, all the way call it hip hop, but as a project, you know, listening to it more and more and more, because I went back, I feel like now even more so, there wasn't enough Black Thought on it, but I understand it, and that's the reason why I still made my top 5. Mac Miller Faces is something that we didn't review, but I thought it was dope, and for me to date, that's his best project so far. 23 tracks, that's a lot of damn tracks, but yo, yeah, it's crazy.
God didn't review that shit.
It's a lot.
I like it too, but it's a lot, man.
It is a lot.
It's a lot to take in.
His best project so far?
I think so. I think that his verses, the production, I just thought overall, beginning to end, it was where Mac wants to be now. You know, because like when you listen to Blue Side Park and you listen to all his early shit, you know, he definitely took a turn to the darker side. And I think that this project embodies that. You know what I'm saying? I think how I said on his last album, watching movies with the TV, with the sound off. Watching movies with the sound off. That I felt like his flows and everything started really catching up. And I think that on this project, with the beats and the lyricism and just everything, I just think that he's continuously taking steps and steps and steps. So I definitely had to put him in my top 5.
This was it's been kind of a weird year for me, man, in hip hop, because when I was really putting together my list, I wasn't able to really find a lot of projects I liked or find many projects challenging for a spot. you know, it was pretty much most of the ones that reviewed that I liked and you know, that I listed outside of Open My Eagles, Dark Comedy, and that one just dropped a couple of weeks ago. But it's one of the ones that I found myself going back to the most ever since it dropped and listening to it and listening to, you know, just almost like you look at the title and it's like for him is I laugh to keep from crying type of concepts and the different themes and stuff that he's exploring within this album, you know, and really you think about him and like his mind state of like where he has to be to write and craft some of these songs. And I think it was one on there, the Idaho song is the one where he's talking about it's a bunch of friends and, you know, it's just, this is what I got out of it. They're on this road and it's late night in the morning and they're driving and, you know, while he's driving, everybody sleep. And, you know, he was like, you know, you was sharing these things with me and now all of a sudden you're sleeping, I got to drive by myself. And, you know, he's talking about the fear of driving at night, man. And, you know, I remember just doing that. I remember in college, going up to New Orleans, 3 hours away, and then partying all night on up there, and then driving all the way back at 4 something in the morning. But yeah, it's a really good album, man.
And where did it land at on your list?
Yeah, it was number 5 because I haven't had a chance to really listen to it a lot. It dropped June 10th, I believe. Mm-hmm. But like I said, it was one that I found myself revisiting a lot over the last few years, last couple of weeks. Because there's a lot there that I keep trying to pull out, you know, with some of the songs. I still don't know what Death Mate is about. But yeah, overall, I think it's a really good album. I think people should definitely check it out. But like I said, the first 4 projects, and why I kind of, you know, drifted off that, was just stuff that we've already reviewed, and they just stuck. Like, since those reviews, I haven't had many other albums that were challenging for a spot.
I was surprised that Sahaya was that high on the list.
Actually, I had to, you know, because, like, usually when we can already do our, like, our mid-year, I got to listen back to, like, albums that came out this year, and when I came back across to this one, I was like, holy shit. Like, it was, you know, it's just like one, that shit that just, you'd be like, oh, damn, this song, oh, damn, this shit was tight. Like, you know, you just coming back, I'm like, man, and I'm like, this is a tight ass mixtape. And just remembering, I remember when we was getting ready to review it, I think we, like, all of us praised it. And then I just had to, that was one album, mixtape I had to go back and listen to. And I'm like, yeah, this shit was dope. Blue, I loved the Blue album. You know, I didn't have an issue with the beats. I'm just saying, I mean, the beats was good. Blue was incredible as usual. And for it to be a double album, not many double albums that you like a lot. That you like, okay, I like a lot of these songs. A lot of these songs that I actually really like, I rarely skip. It's pretty much damn near a non-skippable double album. And Blueprint.
That's major for you to like short albums too.
Yeah, but it seemed like 2 short albums because it was a double album. Yeah, it wasn't that long. You know what I'm saying? Like, the first disc was only 10 songs.
It's 2 short albums that make it long albums.
It's 2 short albums.
Because it's 2 short albums. Because
it's one album that's long, that still feel like it's longer than that. You know what I'm saying? So it didn't seem super long. It didn't seem that bad. Blueprint, I that was an album that I actually enjoyed a lot. I love that album. Blueprint, Respect the Architect.
Oh, Blueprint.
Yeah, what you thought I was saying?
Nothing.
Oh, well, he was talking about blues just now.
I thought you.
But then he's talking about Blueprint. Ahead.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
I'm sorry. No, I was just.
No, it's my fault.
Oh, yeah.
You ain't paying attention. Get out your phone.
I wasn't. I'm sorry.
Speaking Blueprint, of Respect the Architect is another album that I like that was short. You know, so I love because he produced that whole album using this MPC 2000 XL. So I love the soul sampling chopping that he had on there, and it's rhyming.
Listen to it.
You haven't?
It's fucking good.
Man, check that shit out. Check it out.
I should have dragged you to the show. I didn't think about it. I didn't know you liked Blueprint.
Oh, yeah. It was actually 3 albums fighting for that number, for that 5 spot. It was Blueprint, Respect the Architect, Step Brothers.
That's cheating. Go ahead.
Oh. Man, shut up. It was Blueprint, Step Brothers, Laura Stepperton, and Kungalina's Strange Journey Volume 3. So that was, but I think when I listened to Blueprint like 2 more times, I like, yeah, this is it. This is gonna be my top 5 for mid-year. So
it was a little different for you than Ken then, because Ken said he felt like it wasn't anything like that was fighting.
Yeah, it was. It was some albums that was fighting for you know, for me, at least for my list. So that was, if I want to slide in those little honorable mentions, that's why I just threw that honorable mentions in there right there. But and you know, Madlib and Freddie Gibbs, that was another one where, you know, you saw the collaboration, you was like, is it gonna work? But then when them two made that album, man, it was just like, it was almost like it wasn't meant to happen. Like, it should have happened like years ago. You know, it's, you know, it was good to hear Freddie Gibbs spit some over some smooth soul gangster shit and not no trap beats or whatever. So
where'd that land on your list again? Where'd that land on your list?
That number one.
Number one.
Yeah, that's number one. I mean, just for Madlib to craft those beats just for fit to fit for Freddie Gibbs was just crazy. It just seemed like it was just a match made in heaven for them to work together. So I thought that was awesome. What was my number two? Oh yeah, Pharrell Monch. Yeah, that's, I mean, that could have, that you could have either switched both of those for one and two. You can flop those either way in my list. I just put Madlib and Freddie Gibbs because I think I was really more blown away from that because I wasn't expecting that to be that great. Opposed to Pharrell Monch, I'm like, okay, yeah, you know, Pharrell Monch is gonna do what Pharrell Monch does. So for him to have this, like I said, more focused LP since Internal Affairs blew me away, and I loved it.
Anybody list you want to shit on before you get into yours?
I don't think so. Oh, y'all got subpar music to me.
All right.
It don't really matter. You know?
My top five was Moody Black, Nausea. Which is an album that Cheshi Ramos hit me up and asked me to review. And I reviewed that on my channel, so if you have not watched that, go watch it.
Boom, plug.
And yeah, that record's great. I don't know if it's something that y'all would like. It's more experimental. Yeah, but it's really dark. I've been really into mood albums this year, like albums that really, really set a mood. And that album really does that very well. This is a really, really slept on album that people need to go listen to. If you like experimental hip hop, this is fucking amazing, this album. Cunning Linguist, I don't think I really need to talk about that. I talked enough in the review, so y'all get it. Open Mike Eagle, that was really the shock of the year for me. I gotta shout out DJ Jazz Pants. He was actually talking about the album, and I was like, man, I need to go listen to this. Because it came out, was it, it might have been longer than, was it 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, it was June.
Okay, so it came out on my birthday, and I just didn't get around to listening to it because I had so many things that were lined up ahead of it. When I finally put that album on, it was like, okay, this is definitely going to be in my top five. Everything Open Mike Eagle does, I think is fantastic, but this one, I don't know. I think there's a lot of tension that he squeezed into this album that is just, you know what? I'm actually reviewing this album too, so y'all can just go wait for that shit, and it'll drop on the hip-hop site. Y'all can go look at it there. Atmosphere Southsiders, another album we did not review, but I did review it on my channel as well, so if you want to go watch that, do it. But I think that's a highly slept-on album. After I did my review, I went back and listened to a bunch of critiques and watched some videos, read some reviews. And not saying you can't be wrong in a review. You can't, because you're not presenting anything as fact. But some of y'all are completely missing the point. It's like people always want their favorite artists to stay in 10 years ago. And it's like you're not willing to let anyone progress. And it's like people are always bitching about, okay, well, Slug is not rapping about this anymore. But they're completely missing what Slug is rapping about now. That kind of shit is really why I do my own channel and review stuff that we miss, because there's so many artists that we just can't cover everybody. But I want these artists to know that there are people like us that appreciate them, and I like the fact that they appreciate us actually talking about them. When I review somebody's album, they just don't say shit. Like, even if they say, hey, fuck you, you got it all wrong, I take it, you watched it, cool, whatever. But when they actually take the time to say, yo, I really appreciate you reviewing my album, thank you. Yeah. That means a lot. Not that I'm doing it for that purpose, but I'm trying to get the people that I love, I'm trying to get them more fans. But yeah, moving past that, my number one was Sage Francis, Copper Gone, which another album, again, that I reviewed on my channel recently. That album floored me. It blew me away. Sage Francis hasn't been in the game in like 4 or 5 years. And this album is phenomenal. And I think the reason we were talking about relatability earlier. And this is an album that I can 100% relate to. The greatest thing about this album is Sage Francis is a really honest MC, which I don't know if anybody here is even listening to him, but he's on here and he's showing you that he's a crazy wordsmith, because he used to be a battle rapper. He's also been a slam poet. He's done so many different things. So you have him starting the album off with him just spitting raw, telling y'all, look, I'm a fucking dope ass MC and I'll murder any of y'all. He also has these songs where he's talking about breakups and being frustrated with how his life is. And that's not something that many rappers do. I put him in that same category as Slug, where it's like, yeah, you're emotional, but you're not whiny. There's a big difference. He's probably one of the most honest MCs out. And if you listen to this album, like, the one that got me the most was, and this is on my review, but I'll say this real quick. He has a song where he's talking about had his heart broken, and the only person that was there for him was his cats. And for a rapper, a male MC, to put that on wax and be proud to say something like that, like, I think that says a lot. But the thing about it, Sage Francis, he's never been afraid to be overly honest in his music. And I think this album, for a 2014 rap album, is so, like, just unashamed and just so openly honest. I love it. Every single song. And again, when you look at a rapper like this and you're just like, oh, he's soft, he's talking about his feelings. Listen to his other songs where he's just spitting his ass off on the same album. Like, he has songs where he's telling you, don't fuck with me. Don't fuck before we dance and all you get is trampled on. Like, he will fuck you up on a mic.
It's a balance.
It's a perfect balance. You have songs about him murdering MCs, and then you have songs that are relatable where he's like, I'm a fucking human being too. This is shit that I've gone through and I feel like putting it on wax. So yeah, I'm always been a fan of really honest MCs, and I like when one is honest enough to put something out there that most rappers would not talk about. And this is, just like I said before, this is what I've always expected about Drake. It's just that Sage Francis does it better. Clearly.
So my question. Isaiah Rashad, Sylvia Demo. You know, it didn't make it top five. And you was very, 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 very high on it. So I just want to know why.
Why it didn't make my top? To be honest, this list was extremely difficult for me. Like, this has probably been the hardest since we've been doing this list. Because there are a lot of albums, not only that are already out, that I was like, this is tough. And then there were albums that literally just came out like a week ago that I wanted to put on this list. But I was like, you know what? I haven't sat with those albums long enough for me to squeeze those in just yet. I guarantee by the end of the year, my list will be completely different. And that's what happened with Isaiah Rashad. I still love that project. It's just these other projects that came out just knocked it off its box. Because it's like, I still listen to it, but nowhere near as much as the ones that are on my list. Like, Moody Black, I play all the time. I love that shit start to finish. It's phenomenal. Would Isaiah Rashad right now be in my top 10? Absolutely. It's just not in my top 5.
Is there anything y'all think off the top of your head that's coming out the remainder of this year that y'all think that might be in that top 5?
Shit, easy. What? Logic.
Crit and Logic. They both dropping albums. So, you know. And us getting a little preview of the Logic album. I'm really looking forward to sitting down and listening to it. You know what I'm saying?
My Absol, which I
Absol too. I'm looking forward to J Rock.
Run the Jewels.
Yeah, that's the only real. I mean, yeah, Run the Jewels too is definitely
Run the Jewels.
That's coming out this year.
Yeah, it's supposed to be coming out this year.
What's that new Cage project too? The Kill, the Sam Hill EP, I think, is gonna be really interesting.
Carter Five.
No.
I'm interested to see what happens.
That ain't gonna make your damn
time. It's not gonna make. I'm not even gonna say that.
You don't know.
Exactly. I'm not even gonna say that. But I'm like 80% sure that it won't.
Why 80% sure?
Because
past experience.
Yeah, exactly. Like Wayne hasn't. No, man. No. He.
So there's you don't, a lot of like he what he's been prove. Releasing lately.
I do. Like, remember I said when that first EP that he dropped, like the beginning of the year or whatever, I was like, look, he sounds sober. And that's a step in the right direction. And every feature I've heard of his, he's definitely getting back to a point of respectability for me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can listen to him and be like, okay, Wayne, you did your thing on that. Instead of like just thinking like you're a drugged out rapper right now. So, you know, I don't know what to expect out of the Carter 5. I expect it to be better than the last Carter. That's all I expect.
What do you guys think of the year so far? Looking back.
It's been a good year, especially for indie rap, for, you know, your backpack type shit. It's been a good year. People have dropped some great records.